Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. Bishop Snazy's book, The Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, gives us a picture of what vital congregations do. He examines the basic practices that come from being in right relationship with God as a church. The bishop pairs adjectives with nouns to give more precision to the nouns. Most of the adjective noun pairings are interesting in the context of the church. Radical hospitality, passionate worship, risk-taking mission and service. These adjectives are not always ones we would associate with the church, let alone the practices of the church. This week's pairing, then, seems a little bit out of place. Intentional faith development. While we might not always be radical in our hospitality, passionate in our worship, or risk-taking in our mission and service, I think most of us would believe that we are intentional in our faith development. Most churches, if not all churches, offer opportunities for intentional faith development. Here at Hetlerville, we're not alone in what we do. We offer weekly worship and encourage people to attend. We offer age-appropriate Sunday school classes. On a monthly basis, we offer opportunities to volunteer at the mission meal. We have junior church every Sunday. We offer Bible and other studies from time to time throughout the year. We encourage the children to go to vacation Bible or to go to church camp. And this year, we're planning to join with Mifflinville and offer vacation Bible school. All of these different practices help us develop in our faith, and all of them are intentional, at least on one level. None of them spontaneously happen. I've yet to see a group of people wander into the church and just have a Bible study haphazardly. On the most superficial level, we are intentional about our faith development. On a deeper level, though, we are not. We are not intentional. Intentionality means more than just planning. We are intentional when we know what we are going to do and why we are going to do it. Often in the church, we know what we're going to do. It's rather easy. We've always done it before. The problem lies, though, that we often don't know why beyond the mere vagaries about potential benefit. We plan to have Sunday school because, well, we've always had Sunday school. We plan to have worship because we've always had worship. We plan to have vacation Bible school because, well, isn't that what churches do? How often, though, do we ask why are we going to do what we're going to do? And do we ever ask what do we expect the end result to be? What would it look like to have successful faith development? How can we tell that faith has been developed? We know what we're going to do, but we rarely talk about what we hope the end result will be. It's a problem endemic to our society. We educate our children in primary and secondary schools, but how often do we define what we expect success to look like and what we would hope the education will do? How many times do we ask ourselves, why do we educate the children this way as opposed to that way with an end result in mind? We send many children off to college, but do we know why? Why do they need that particular type of education, and what would the successful end result of that education be? It goes beyond education in the church, though. How often do we think about what we want as the end result in our day-to-day actions in our lives? Most of us do not live our lives intentionally. We do what we do because that's what everyone else does. Sure, there might be a few areas of our lives where we're intentional, like homeschooling or actively doing something different than everyone else. But on the whole, most of the time, we do what everyone else does. We're told to do this and what we're supposed to do, and we do that. We don't question why, and we don't define what would a success be from why we're doing what we're doing. Our lack of intentionality actually counteracts intentional faith development. Jesus challenged the status quo. He challenged in his teachings, his life, his death, and his resurrection, everything. He taught in the Gospel of Matthew, you have heard it said that people long ago, you shall not murder, and let anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And anyone who says you fool will be in the danger of the fire of hell. A little later in Matthew, he says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. In his life, he would associate with people decent society told you to avoid. Jesus claimed to be the chosen one. But dying on a cross was not part of society's plan for the Messiah. In Jesus' death, many saw an end to all that Jesus had to accomplish. But Jesus showed us a new beginning. He challenged the status quo. Jesus challenged his followers to live differently, abandon their families and their possessions, and follow him. He said that he was the way and the truth, and that he could lead them to the Father. In a world consumed by sin and death, Jesus showed his followers the way of life. In a world of violence, he brought peace. In a world of judgment, grace. And in a world full of self-righteous piety, judgment. He challenged the people of his day to think about their relationship with God in new ways and not always do what they had done before. He challenged people to abandon the barriers and divisions that society had created and join the kingdom of God, God's family, where there are no barriers or divisions. In a society that said the rich must be blessed, Jesus said, blessed are the poor. In a society that tells you, make no waves, Jesus said, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Jesus called his followers to be intentional, not simply to go with the flow, but to grow in their relationship with God and act in ways pleasing to God. Jesus challenged his followers to challenge the rules of the Pharisees, who had plenty of rules about how to be in relationship with God. And he told people to see God the way God saw them, not the Pharisees. To not follow the rules, but to intentionally follow God. And sometimes that meant breaking the rules. What it meant to be intentional in faith development when Jesus was alive was obvious. It meant following Jesus. And that's what his earliest followers did. They ate what Jesus ate. They slept where Jesus slept. They heard Jesus' teachings. They saw him perform miracles and signs, and they followed his instructions, well, at least most of the time. Being a follower of Jesus literally meant following Jesus each day and growing in your relationship with Jesus each day. After Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, it wasn't so easy. There was no earthly Jesus to follow. The disciples and his earliest followers could no longer walk in his footsteps. Today's scripture lesson gives us a clear picture of what intentional faith development looked like when Jesus was no longer presently human to follow. The apostles and the earliest followers of Jesus did not go out into the world by themselves to live in solitary relationship with God. Instead, they gathered together and formed a community where they could teach and learn together. They would have fellowship over meals, celebrate Jesus' presence in the sacraments, and pray together. Jesus had given them a vision of what life might be like if people were not encumbered by their possessions. So these earliest followers lived out that vision by giving up all that they had, put it in common, so that they could share in the community with those in need. These earliest followers worshipped in the temple, and they worshipped in their homes. They ordered their lives so that they could grow in relationship with God. By giving up their possessions, they would learn to grow in their trust of God and each other. By living together, they could hold each other accountable for their Christian walk. And by sharing their resources and burdens, they would have more time to devote to God and God's work. Listening to the teachings of the apostles and worshiping in the temple in their homes, these were the ways they occupied their time. As followers of Jesus, they wanted to be like Jesus. And these were the ways they intentionally ordered their lives so that they could grow in their faith. To become Christ-like. This intentional faith development bore fruit. They were filled with awe as they could see God at work through the apostles. This way of leading led to a positive community where they could eat together with glad and sincere hearts and praise God. Their intentional faith development led to a favorable impression of them by all the people. People could see something different in these followers of Jesus, and they approved. In turn, on a daily basis, the Lord saved many people and added to their number each day. The author of Acts records these verses not simply to give us a historical record of the early church. The author is giving us a vision of what it means to be followers of Jesus. What a community of faith development where it can occur. This is a vision of what it means to be followers of Jesus, where day by day you are growing in your relationship with Jesus, all in the context of community. These early followers wanted to be like Jesus. They had a vision of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, growing in one's faith, and they ordered their lives accordingly. They were very intentional in what they did so they could live out this vision, intentionally developing their faith so that they could become like Christ. The earliest followers knew what they were doing, and they did it. As followers of Jesus today, do we have a vision? Do we know what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this time and place? What does it look like in this time and place to be a disciple? This is the why in intentional faith development. We should have a vision of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and the community, a church, and what we're being called to be like as a church so that we can develop into this vision. If we offer Sunday school class or just Sunday school in general, we have to ask ourselves, how will this program or this class help a person grow in their faith? How do we evaluate it? How do we know it's making them be a disciple? And if we don't know how, if we can't see any fruit, if we don't know how it's going to do anything, we either shouldn't offer it or we should at least try to change it so we know how and how to evaluate it. If we think we know how, we need to look at the fruits of the people in the class and say, are they developing? Can we evaluate it? And if they aren't growing, if they aren't developing, then we need to change what we're doing so that we can help people grow in their faith. If we don't see fruits, then we have to either stop it or change it. Being intentional in faith development means knowing why we do what we do. Being intentional means evaluating what we do to see if we're producing the fruits of faith development that we have envisioned. A church that offers classes and programs for faith development, but never asks why, never evaluates whether it's working, is not intentional. And if a church is not intentional, then it's just perpetuating the ways of the world. These ways seductively invite us not to question, but to fall into line. Being a follower of Jesus means being intentional in an unintentional world. Followers of Jesus intentionally work to grow in their relationship with God. We can never just take one class and say, boom, our faith has been developed. It means on a daily basis going against the currents of apathy and tradition that sweep us away from God and lead us to sin and death. Being a follower of Jesus means being intentional in fighting these currents and intentionally building our relationship with God. As the earliest followers of Jesus discovered, this is best done in the context of community. It's why we meet as a church. We need to be intentional together. We need to fight the ways of apathy and tradition. Intentionality means knowing why we do what we do and evaluating to see if our intentional actions are producing the fruits that we discern that God would want us to produce. We do many things here at Hetlerville to develop our faith. If we want to be intentional, we need to ask why. We need to understand, to discern what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this time and place. What are the fruits born in this process? In a world that loves the status quo and hates challenging questions, we need to remember that Jesus fought the status quo. He encouraged his followers to be intentional in their relationship with God and not always to do what they had done before, but to seek what God was calling them to do now. What are we being called to do to grow in our faith? What methods and activities of the past are we being called to give up? What new activities are we being invited to pick up? What practices and activities are we going to do to order our lives so that we might grow in our faith together? As a church, we need to work together to discern a vision of what it means to grow in our relationship with God. We need to discern how God is being calling us to grow into that vision. As I close this sermon, I'd like to leave you with the words from Godspell's Day by Day. I hope these words can be our daily prayer as we seek to grow in how God is calling us to intentionally develop our faith. Day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. Amen.